know the music Matt plays. It's okay. Matt's got pretty eclectic taste. Welcome back to Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill. But when Lisa Brooks is in the studio, I mean, I've never seen you this motivated.
This is the best Christmas song ever, 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 ever. And it is a Seattle classic.
I feel like a total basket of coal
right
now.
You were wasting away on rock and roll radio all those years, and you missed Stop the Cavalry by the Koori Band with the Gowalla Singers. That was a hit on...
And now you're talking over it. I'm sorry.
It was a hit for many, many years.
Oh, my
here.
Gosh, this is fantastic. I wasn't sure it was in English when we started. Matt, bookmark this one. We're going to use this one a lot for the next month. Thank you.
Thanks for
opening my heart and my eyes to this song. Matt, thank you. Lisa, thank you. This is awesome. I swear I've never seen you so motivated by a song.
This is the best.
That's phenomenal. Hi, everybody. This is why I love this time of year, man. This is why. It's the best. Can you play? Don't play that Yellow Snow song, man. Let's listen to this. Oh my gosh. Oh. So we teased this story, so we might as well do it. You know, you often hear about crime and punishment and criminals going to court and getting sentencing, and you know, it's often a horrific, tragic tale. And or there's people who they couldn't get convictions. But this story, Matt showed me this story, and it really, I was like, yeah, it made me feel good inside. Not just that these guys were caught. It was a story of attempted voter suppression. Actually, successful voter suppression. There's no way this didn't work. Two guys, two far-right operatives, told tens of thousands of people not to vote by mail in a robocall scheme. And this was from a judge in Ohio. This scheme took place. They robocalled roughly 85,000 voters in Michigan, New York, Pennsylvania, Illinois, and Ohio in the summer of 2020, falsely telling them that voting by mail would risk giving your private information to the man. And yes, they were targeting neighborhoods with a high percentage of black voters. These guys were trying to spread fear that voting by mail could put you on a watch list and give your personal information out. The robocalls claimed to be from a fictitious non-existent group called the 1599 Project, a play on words of for the African American community from the 1619 Project. Thank you very much. They told them the voters' information would go to databases accessible to the police, debt collectors, Center for Disease Control and Prevention, which would use the information to impose vaccine mandates. The call cited no evidence to support these claims, yada, yada, yada. Well, these guys went to trial and were found guilty. And the judge in Ohio, and it's why we bring this story up, it's good that they were caught doing what they were doing, trying to keep, you know, you got to wonder when you're trying to keep people from voting, you know. Your message must suck. Your platform must suck. I mean, you know, tell people to vote. Tell them why to vote for your side. Give them reasons to vote for you. Don't give them reasons not to vote at all. That should tell you that you've got a weak hand. You're bluffing. In poker, you're bluffing. You got nothing. And it's sad that you can't come up with ideas that are winners. So you try to undermine the system. So the better ideas don't get voted for. That's just horrendous, first off. Horrendous. Well, these two guys were sentenced by a judge in Ohio for this four-state voter suppression scheme, robocalling over 85,000 voters in swing states all, Michigan, New York, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Ohio, swing states all, sentenced to 500 hours of community service. They'll have other penalties as well. Each gets 2 years probation, 6 months of monitoring with an ankle bracelet.
Oh, and I do believe they're up on other cases. And other charges.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is just the Ohio case, right? $2,500 each in fines and 500 hours of registering voters in predominantly African-American neighborhoods in Washington, D.C.
That is poetic, Justice.
It is. That's great stuff. That's creative use of the power from the bench. Hopefully it will teach them the value and importance of the right to vote. And it's not something you dink around with.
Hopefully it'll teach them some respect for other people who may not be like them.
Boy.
They could use a lesson in learning something empathy? About the people they were pranking, yeah. quote
yeah.
unquote.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be a Christmas miracle. That'd be great.
It sort of reminds me of that thing on Seinfeld where when they were, you know, within the show, when they were launching the show, and one of their plot lines was because this guy didn't have insurance and he hit Jerry's car, they sentenced him to be Jerry's butler. And it's like, I like unique
yes.
punishments
yes.
for crimes like that. That's very clever. I applaud that judge for his innovative thinking.
I do too, because it's so relevant to the crime committed. And hopefully we'll show these two yahoos, these clam dips, as I like to call people of this ilk, just how dangerous what they were doing and who it affects directly. You know how dangerous it is and the people that they're trying to disenfranchise from a basic American right, the most fundamental basic American human right, or not human, American right, as a citizen is to getting to pick who our leaders are. You know, I'm watching TV today, and I'm watching Kevin McCarthy, who will be the new Speaker of the House because he's made a deal with the what do you even call that caucus of the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the extremists.
I'm trying to think of broadcastable.
Yeah, I know exactly. The Paul Gozars, and you're going to throw your Louis Gohmerts in there, and your Matt Gaetzes in there, and your extremist fringe. Your Jim Jordans.
You know, in England, they had the raving loony party. That wasn't happening.
You know, there are times, and I really wish we had a parliamentary party. You know, I really do. There are times. I know that this system of self-governance is a model for the world, and it's not perfect. And often there are flaws and a failure of the checks and balances of our system. But, you know, it was a pretty unique experiment, and it's worked out pretty damn well. And you watch guys come into power, you know, by the slimmest of margins, due in large part to redistricting by maps that were deemed illegal by judges in various states. But this new 6-3 conservative Supreme Court said, no, you guys go ahead and use those gerrymandered discriminatory maps to make districts anyway. At least this. It's too close to an election to get into it now. So you guys go ahead and redistrict your way to a majority in the House. And when you do, stop looking at what happened on January 6th. They'll just stop that. They'll pull the rug out. Kevin McCarthy, who is, you know, first off, he is a miracle. He's a modern miracle. To be able to walk around like that upright without a spine is a medical miracle. And I compliment him on that. But the guy has no soul. I'm sorry. He issued a letter to the January 6th committee. Hey, save all your data, pal. Because we're going to investigate the investigators. Yeah.
Maybe it's more like a Charlie McCarthy thing where he's got a wooden dowel implanted in his back and somebody else pulls his string.
That's right. Charlie was the dummy. Edgar Bergen was the smart guy in the relationship. Yeah. It's funny, though. The chairman of the January 6th committee, Benny Thompson, when asked, you know, what do you think of Kevin McCarthy's letter, you know, saying to save all the materials because they want to make sure you were looking in the right places. He literally laughed to the reporter. Believe me, everything we have won't just be saved. It's all going public. We're going to release everything. We're going to publish every question, every answer from every Republican, the thousands of people that came before this committee, one of which was not Kevin McCarthy, who ignored a congressional subpoena to talk about what happened on January 6th. He says, don't worry, Kevin, but we won't just save every piece of paper. We'll publish every piece of paper. We're not going to let you dictate what information you release to the public. We're releasing all the information to the public. So, you know, you can call this a one-sided, you know, 9 Democrats, 2 Republican partisan committee. But that's only because Kevin McCarthy, who was in negotiations to have a bipartisan committee with equal subpoena power, with equal representation between Democrats and Republicans, McCarthy negotiated that and then didn't allow any of the members of the House minority, the Republicans at the time, to vote for that. So the reason you have 9 Democrats and 2 Republicans is because McCarthy wouldn't play the game they now cry they can't have. So here's to you, Charlie McCarthy. I mean, Kevin McCarthy. It's you know, monkeying with the vote, man. That's a bridge too far. Lying about election results, that's a bridge too far. We found that at the midterms. The red wave was more like a red stain. You know? It was a ketchup stain on the wall. I love that joke. I didn't write that. That's been seen 1,000 times. The red wave turned into a ketchup stain on the wall of somebody's dining room in Florida. That's all it turned into. Oh, but I'm not getting political tonight. I promised I wouldn't. I promised my wife I wouldn't do political.
I thought it was kind of cool on the news, and actually props to Tesla. Pepsi taking their first Tesla semi-truck into their fleet.
An electric?
Yeah.
Delivery truck?
Yeah, well, like a
one of those box trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like the Sprinter, the Mercedes has a Sprinter.
No, this is one of the cab trucks, like the...
Oh, like a semi.
Yeah,
a
semi. Yeah, that's an electric. I couldn't think of the word.
An electric semi?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
They said the cargo space is reduced because of the size of the battery, obviously, but right. That's still pretty cool, and they want to buy a lot of these things.
You know, I'm a proponent of new energy, clean energy. Of course, I hope we all are. Great news today out of Olympia that they actually think there's going to be some bipartisan cooperation on reducing the carbon footprint in the state of Washington. The Republicans have a plan to expand hydroelectric power in Washington. Great. That's
I'll
fantastic.
Believe it when I see the details of the plan.
I mean, same here, but at least the fact that they're, you know, not just standing up for the, you know, natural gas industry or whatever other it might be, trying to get coal shipped through our state.
It might well be progress.
It could be progress. It'd be great. It's going to happen. We're going to have progress at some point, folks. We're going to have to. You know, it's funny, before I got this opportunity to talk to you guys on a nightly basis, but back what you call the good old days before I was here every night.
I do not call them
not
the
you,
good old days.
Not you. I'm talking to the texters. I was working for an organization, and it wasn't, you know, I haven't brought this up, but one of the platforms of the Republican plan is to make sure energy stays affordable in Washington. And we use a lot of natural gas in this state, but... In an effort to go green, the city of Seattle, now King County, eventually the entire state, is going to change the building the building code on the use of natural gas in first commercial and multi-family facilities, like apartment building type things. All new construction is going to have electric power and not natural gas capacity to heat common areas, like the entire building. To heat water and space with natural gas. In new buildings, it's not going to be allowed. And eventually, it's not going to be allowed anywhere. They have to retrofit every building in the King County, Seattle, state of Washington. Eventually, that's what they're shooting for. And that's for a greener energy plan, which is, you know, like, I'm all for that. But the organization I was working with, it's called the Affordable Energy Coalition. They did a lot of research and figured out that when the price of energy rises, and you hear about that all the time, that's going to be the most costly winter to heat our homes, you know, that we've ever had. The price of electricity has risen. The price of gas has risen. But when you take away a gas, which I think is 40% of Seattle's energy use, natural gas, I'm not sure. I think the number actually goes higher when you cross the state because in eastern Washington, it's much more, you know, much more of a natural gas area than Western Washington. When that resource is eliminated, the cost of electric power, as opposed to natural gas, is higher in demand, and the price is going to go up. And the higher energy bills disproportionately affect those in the lower income areas who can least afford this. So when the state makes a very public, you know, we're going green, we're going to eliminate gas, it's great, it's heading in the right direction. but it's really being hoisted upon the backs of those who can least afford to make the change. You know, the least economically successful or, you know, fruitful among us, the lower income communities, which are often communities of color, BIPOC communities, that's who's going to have to be paying a disproportionate amount of their income toward energy. So, you know, you have to take these things in consideration when you make changes. And I love electric cars. I'm thrilled that an electric semi is going to be pulling Pepsi around. I think it's fantastic. I hope we solve the battery issues on electric cars. That's the big knock right now for those folks who are anti-electric vehicle, is how much heavy metals or precious metals it takes, rare metals, it takes to build a battery for an electric car. But we'll progress our way through that problem as well. That's what we'll do. We learn, we grow. Hopefully there's a little Elon dusk somewhere growing
there's
up these days.
There's at least 13 of them.
Yeah. Maybe him and Nick Cannon's kids will get together and, you know, they'll solve the whole battery problem. It'll be great. I'm your puppet. That's great, dude. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill. It's Matt Butler at the boards. Very nice touch. I'll be right back after these, folks. Is this Bare Naked Ladies or They Might Be Giants? Bare Naked Ladies, right?
You got it.
Yeah.
To save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
From God our Heavenly Father. So you think they sound like
a folk group from the 60s, you know?
They sound like that. A Muddy Wind.
You know, it does. It does.
That's what it sounds like. You know, it sounds like Christopher Guest and Harry Shearer. Right?
You're right. That's what it is.
Like, that's awesome. That's actually a great version of this song. So my sister sent me a version, maybe Matt, you can find this, if you wouldn't mind, of Little Drummer Boy by, what's it called? They're a religious band, for King of Country?
For King of Country, yes.
King of Country.
Very popular contemporary Christian
band. They do a Little Drummer Boy that was, jaw dropped. It was amazing. It was a live version. My sister sent me. It's just amazing. Thank you for that. And you're right about it. They did some way folk. Bare Naked Ladies Christmas. Everybody does Christmas, man. Everybody did Christmas. We talked last night and somebody asked, I think you asked Matt, did Fleetwood Mac ever do a Christmas song? And I looked all day today and they didn't. We lost Christine McVie yesterday and Matt put a wonderful tribute together. And you guys were very kind on the text to complimenting that work. I appreciate you doing that, Matt. Fleetwood Mac never did a Christmas song. I feel terrible playing our little Christmas goof-offs, you know, in...
I do, however, have one, if you would like to listen
to it.
Well,
do that while you look for the...
Well, I'm so good, I've already found the other song,
The King
too.
Of Country? Well,
yeah. So which one do you want to hear?
I want to follow them. Let's play the Bob Rivers Twister All Christmas right. song first, if
there
you would.
There we are, Decorations.
Thank you.
I love the colored lights of and the way that neighbors stop their cars and stare. Ah, strap a Santa Claus on my roof. Plastic candy canes and reindeer everywhere.
I'm stringing up decorations. It's draining the power stations. Fake icicle light formations. Imported from third world nations. I'm stringing up decorations. I'm freaking out fire stations. I'm pumping out radiation. My neighbors are out of patience.
Gotta keep those yuletide decorations up all winter. God appreciates my plugged-in tribute to the Savior. God would love if I could keep them up till well past Easter.
Amen.
I'm putting up a major station. Three wise men's destination. Nutcrackers in full cremation. There's a drummer boy animation.
La 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 la.
So remember that we did all that from scratch. You know that it's called a theremin. Bob actually found a theremin. We learned how to play a theremin to make that song. The singer was Roger Treece, local guy at the time. I think he's down in L.A. now. T-R-E-E-C-E. He's a brilliant vocalist. Did all the vocal arranging, put the orchestra or the vocal choir together. Just an amazing guy. Oh, and I got to play a theremin. It was awesome. It was fantastic. Did you find King of Country?
I did.
Let's play a little of that if we could, because it's wonderful. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike Lee with Matt Butler. They've got like four different guys playing drums during the song. One of the two vocalists is out front with just like a drum, like a Fife a drum guy would be carrying, you know, on a shoulder band, playing that one. There's a guy up top playing a big bass drum, guy over here playing a kettle drum, one guy had a full drum kit, and the whole band's going live. It's amazing.
Wow. Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
Oh,
sounds awesome.
And you got, if you can, watch the video. It's King and Country. And check out the video, because the stage performance, phenomenal. My sister loves this band. And we were never a very religious family. But let's crank it up. I don't care who you are, man. That you got to love that. I was Christian rock. I always had that. Christian rock, whatever. Those guys are brilliantly talented.
What was that line from the cartoon? You're not making Christianity better. You're making rock and roll worse.
I don't think
not entirely fair, but I love.
No, I don't think either of those are true with that example. I mean, that's fantastic stuff.
Oh, totally. It's amazing.
There was a Christian rock band. Was it Striper, I think it was?
Yeah, with the Devil.
Right. Yeah. That's right. But I'd like to also point out this. U2 is maybe the most Christian rock band on the face of the earth. You know, almost every U2 song has an element of their belief written through, straining through the lyrics. You know? You never judge a genre, you know. Never judge a song by its genre, I guess is what I'm trying to say there. You can find magic and absolute treasure and gold in any genre of music. Firm believer, man. And if you can't, that's your own fault. If you can have an open enough mind and an open enough sense of your heart and your just appreciation for the talent it takes, the creativity it takes, there is great music in every genre, every genre. Yeah, we should one more time give you the word huddle. If you want to win Seahawk tickets, last chance with Seahawk tickets today. It's till 11:59 tonight. Go to MyNorthWest.com/win. MyNorthWest.com/win. Go to the events, and it'll take you to the events and contest section. Click on the football logo. There's a little box there. It's a Cairo News Radio and a football. Somebody wrote Blitz on a whiteboard, so it's really accurate. But go on there and give us your information, and we'll draw three winners tonight. For tickets to the Hawks and 49ers on the 15th at Lumen Field, you could be there for a pair of tickets. We'll come right back after these and give you some texts. We appreciate all the input tonight, folks. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill along with Matt Butler. We'll be right back.
A merry little Christmas, let your heart be light. From now on,
see, now this is great, but these are the kind of stuff I can't tell you if this is Bublé or Harry Connick Jr. or Goebel.
Listen closer.
Huh?
Make the Yuletide gay.
Seth MacFarlane?
From now on, our troubles will be miles away.
It's Shatner! No, it's not Shatner.
It's the new Harry Styles.
That's my next guess. No, who is it really? Please.
Brian Setzer.
It's Setzer. Oh,
yeah,
Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That's a great Christmas album.
Yeah, yes, he does. I appreciate you finding these little fringe great Christmas songs, you know?
It's kind of what I do. Like, during the holidays, I actually dig for deeper and different versions of holiday tunes for my playlist.
Nice.
So I found a lot of interesting stuff.
Nice.
Like that Colbert Christmas album. I love that.
I can't wait to get into that. I appreciate you bringing that out. Thanks. And for folks who missed it, Matt found a cut of Elvis Costello and Stephen Colbert.
Song called Much Worse Things to Believe In.
It was fantastic. I was mystified. Couldn't figure out who it was. I couldn't place the voices. It was funny as hell. Ah. Thank you all for taking part in the show tonight in texts. We didn't get too political tonight. Sometimes we have to. You know, there are folks out there who still believe and still will never be put off their beliefs of election fraud in 2020, election fraud in 2022. And you know what? If it's proven that someone committed fraud and there was an election that wasn't run properly, it's one thing to have problems with an election. Those happen every year. In the 2020 election, there were over, 150 million voters? More than 150 million voters in this country? So there are going to be problems. There's going to be fraud. And from what I've seen of evidentiary proof, it seems that there was more fraud from Republicans trying to vote for Trump with dead mothers and wives than there was for Democrats. But regardless of who was committing fraud, nothing close to anything that could have changed the results of an election. Same can be said for 2022.
One thing we have to move past is assigning morality to be the possession of one side or of the aisle or the other. The fact of the matter is, regardless of your politics or if you don't have any, your background, your finances, there are people who just do bad things.
Right.
You can't take that and extrapolate, okay, because one Democrat or one Republican did one fraudulent thing or Hunter Biden did this, that changes an entire person or party's political philosophy.
Exactly.
It's just a ridiculous over-magnification
of
human nature.
Generalization,
that sometimes
yeah.
does bad things.
Generalization is one of the seven deadly sins. It's the worst. You paint everybody with one brush. It doesn't fit. It does not work. It's not right. I don't think all conservatives or Republicans are extremists. I don't think that at all. I got family. I love these people.
Same. As I've said many times, yep. most of the people I was raised, I didn't hear, meet a Democrat till I was 20 years old.
I didn't meet a black person till I was 22 years old. No, I'm kidding.
So, you know, it's human. It's the human nature, and corrupt humanity will do corrupt things regardless of the label they
yeah,
want to put
exactly.
on.
Yeah, exactly. And I've said many, many times, I don't want to win by cheating. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's softball. I don't care if it's the NFL. I don't care if it's politics. I don't want to win by cheating. And again, our respect and condolences to Gaylord Perry, who says, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. You know, that's a lot of people feel that way, you know, including about politics. People pointed out that there are Christmas trains around town, and I appreciated that. I was kind of reminiscing as we're playing Christmas music about the Christmas village and the Christmas train. And as a little kid, I remember being like Ralphie in A Christmas Story, nose pressed against the window, downtown department store. There's one at the Seattle Center. There's a Christmas village and train. There's one in the Tacoma Museum of History on Pacific, right across from Starbucks, and at the Thurston County Fairgrounds. And there's lots more. There's lots of Christmas out there for all of us. I appreciate you guys letting me know that was the case. We talked a little bit about spanking and, you know, whether or not you were – there's a text wrote in, it's a thin line between spanking and physical abuse. And, of course, that's right. And if you ever get so heated up with it, you think you need to spank your kids, you know, maybe you do need to spank them. I don't know. It's a personal choice. But it's always never a bad idea to wait a couple minutes and walk outside. Look at the sky, look at the stars, whatever it takes. Oh. I talked about Elon Musk, and he, while he is a genius, maybe he should stay in his lane when it comes to like putting chips in your brain. And not the good kind with salsa either, the kind that controls our thinking. We equated him to Da Vinci and Edison, being a man of many, many skills. A text wrote, the difference between Da Vinci, Edison, and Elon Musk is that Da Vinci and Edison, they had ethics. And without ethics, genius can be dangerous. Now, we're not saying that I didn't. Maybe he is saying that Elon Musk seems to be without ethics.
I would say that his moral views are very flexible and self-interested. He doesn't seem to have a very hard line in terms of just right and wrong and people being decent to one another.
Yeah, amen. Oh, and it says, Spike, you played I'm Your Puppet this evening. It made me burst into tears. My dearest, oldest sister passed away several years ago in her prime from an aneurysm before suffering for 6 years vegetative state. This is one of her all-time favorite songs, and she danced to it all night long at a home Christmas party. Her birthday was yesterday, November 30th. I haven't heard the song in ages, and that's Dee Dee in Renton. And Dee Dee, we're sorry for your loss. We appreciate you sharing that with us. Happy belated heavenly birthday to your sister. And you can thank Matt for bringing that gem and for getting involved in the show. We appreciate your text. It's been a fun night. We'll try to do this again tomorrow night. We'll see what the boss says in the morning. I think we're okay. We'll find out then. We'll see you guys tomorrow night. Have a great night.